Accession number 14788, Rule 12.
Mr. Parker, Rule 12. We were talking about... You've been interrogated in Turin, in the jail there.
Yeah.
And they got nowhere with you.
No.
They didn't mistreat you, though.
Oh, no.
And then what was the next move?
Well, by that time, the Germans had entered Italy. So they'd taken over, obviously, the Italian barracks. So in this place called Mantua.
That's where you moved to?
That's right, I was only there for...
Is that far?
Oh, no, is it almost in Turin, just outside Turin.
Right. And what happened there? You weren't there long, you were there about 4 days, I think.
Well, I was...
Anything special happened there at Mantua?
Well, the thing I remember about was that they put me to do sort of office cleaning. Well, really, that's not really true, not office cleaning, but I was cleaning the office out of the people who had occupied the camp, and they were Germans. And really, I was just cleaning the debris, because they just moved in, and the Italians had moved out. So the Germans wanted the thing looks really smart. So that's what I was doing. And
were there many of you at the camp? Because... You've been captured on your own, hadn't you? And how many were there? Was it a proper POW camp, or was it a barracks?
No, just a barracks.
So you were on your own?
On my own. And the only thing I can remember about that was that when I was cleaning this sort of big room, a bloke came in with a German. And the German could speak a little bit of English, and he said to me, "You will soon see one of your friends." And I said, "What do you mean, see one of my friends?" He said, "You will see another Englishman." He said, "He will be here soon." And a bloke walked in, and I thought he was a German, because the bloke's in uniform. I was not in uniform, I was in civvies. And this bloke was in civvies, I thought, he might be one of the Germans just trying
to... He was in uniform, you mean?
Yeah, he was in uniform. And I said to him, what are you doing in here? So he said, "Hey, you speak good German, good English." So I said, "I am English." And he said, "How long have you been here?" So I said, "I'm not supposed to answer questions like that." I said, "Are you trying to catch me?" So he said, "No," he said, "I'm English, same as you." He said, "I've just been recaptured." And he was the first sort of bloke I'd known who'd been recaptured in the same area that I was.
So he was really, wasn't a plant, he was...
No, but being interrogated 4 days before, and they'd been asked me, "Are you this and are you that?" I thought it was a plant to try and catch me.
What was his name? Do you know his name?
No.
So what happened next then? There's two of you then.
And then they sent us to a big depot, railway depot. And then by that time they'd been capturing all kinds of people in civvies, uniform. And they bundled us onto a train and I went through the Brenner into Germany.
Now, did they give you a uniform? Were you fitted out, or were you still in civvies?
Still in civvies, yeah.
What do you remember about the train journey across Austria? What were you in?
In a cattle wagon. And there was 40 blokes. And there was a box, a thunderbox. They called it a thunderbox. Toilet. One in the centre of the cattle wagon. And there's 40 blokes. And one bloke, it's like everything else, people pick up things and you get somebody who can find things, and he got a pig's bladder, and that was the thing we used for toilet. The box we used to use for number twos. But I found that I was in a wrong position, because you used to have to empty this bladder through the little grill in the cattle wagon, and I was underneath, so we got all the dips down down my neck.
Down the back of your neck?
Yeah. And then you used to go to, when you sort of wanted to go to do number twos, I mean, you used to have to tap the bloke on the shoulder just a bit, because he was sitting on the box, use it as a seat. All the rest of the blokes were on the floor. Bits of, you know, straw, and that was it. And I always remember blokes, he asked me if I smoked, and I said no. But blokes who did smoke, and they were desperate. And they'd got, obviously being in civvies, they'd got old hats on, brims, and I always remember one bloke pulling like a piece of cord out of his hat. And he made a cigarette with the straw on the floor, wrapped it around and put this sort of felt thing through the middle of the straw and lit the straw for a smoke. And his eyes were going round.
So you do, when you went to the toilet, you just had to sit on this thunderbox in front of everybody?
Yeah.
Did that bother you at all?
No, well, like everything else, you can't afford to be bothered, can you? If you want to go to the toilet, you want to go to the toilet.
Did they feed you at all?
Well, we stopped once at, in the sidings at, I'm just trying to think of the name of that. It was on the telly the other night. Put us in the sidings, and they bombed the hell out of the town that same night. And you couldn't get out of the wagon.
You were locked in.
Locked in.
Mm. Well, that must have been a bit nerve wracking.
It was nerve wracking. Mm. That's why I lost my ear, I think.
Were people really scared, or how did people? I mean, nasty situation.
Well, I think, like in all theatres of war, I mean, some people don't show fear, and others do, and depending on your age and condition, and I was fine, I'll tell you that.
Now, the sidings you just remembered is Innsbruck sidings.
That's right,
yeah. That's right. Mm. Now, what happened next then? You were there overnight.
Well, we had a so-called meal. I mean, we got a piece of bread and a bit of meat. That was sort of breakfast for the next day. And then we started going the old... the train started. And I remember it was very, very cold and it was snowing. And all the people who were guarding us, they were on the buffers outside. So we were quite warm inside with this 40 men and the old pot in the middle there. And then we arrived at Stalag 4B.
Now, where was that? Do you know the name of the town where it was?
Not really, no.
We can look it up. And what was your initial impression of the camp?
Well, it was a big camp, and the impression I got was when I got inside, it was sort of really well run. Because it was run by army blokes, you know, Sergeant Major was, funny enough, he was... one of my drivers in Sioux Street. And he was in charge of the whole camp.
Do you know his name?
Gibson, I think his name was.
And how was the camp organised then? So were you in huts, or how was it divided?
We were in huts, yeah.
How many to a hut?
Well, it's hard to say, because the first hut I went in, there was just sort of a nominal, smaller hut. Probably about 40 blokes. But then I was put on the regimental police by my pal, who was RSM, and I became a policeman then.
In the camp?
Yeah. So my job was to collect the prisoners who came in and take them to be deloused and had a shower.
Well, tell me about that, because that would have happened to you when you first... What happened when you were deloused and showered? What was the procedure?
Well, all you hear, obviously, because that's the main thing where you get in Laos. And you weren't allowed to... there weren't baths, there were proper showers. Because they contained it with... If you wiped yourself on a towel, then if you've got disease on it, or vermin, you'd pass it on to somebody else. So there's like big fans in this place, and very hot. and the blowing it out, of course, when it showered, it just stood in front of these and dried itself off. And my job later was to fetch the new recruits in that had been just come in. And the first batch of fetch was a batch of Cingalese. And they were terrific blows. 5'10", 5'11", 6 foot. And when they dressed off in front of those hot towels, and they'd had a shower and the hot fans came out, the choppers were standing as big as horses. That's why I remember those things, because it's a funny thing to see about 40 blokes just doing this, waving in the air to get dry. And of course, by the same rule, they were strengthening the old choppers, and they were sort of, you know what the single is like, and dark people, and they were sort of rubbing up against each other, and giving quite a thrill. But that's the thing, things like that stick in your mind. And then, when I got back to the billet, there I said, I'd found me a nice little billet all to myself.
Where was that?
That was in the camp, in 4F.
But whereabouts in the camp? You know, how had you got a billet on your own?
Well, I suppose if you can think of a big area with huts, sort of so many in a row, 5, 10, 15, 20, and then there's oddments scattered all over the place. And of course, being the RSM, he could pick his own sort of quarters. And incidentally, he had a batman, and his batman was my batman, because with him we'd been known. So every morning, before I got up in the morning, I used to have a cup of tea in bed. It was like I was the camp. And
how many were you were there was Gibson, that was the RSM. How many of them were like you who were under him running the camp, or you know, running the British side of the camp?
Well, about I think 30, I think, because there's people who could the barber is in charge of the barbers. People who could do entertainment. Used to run all kinds of, you know, bits of entertainment, singing, and even dressing up in clothes to dance, you know. All from the Red Cross. And this bloke, who was my batman, incidentally, was a homo. He was a nice chap. He'd say, "Albert, your tea's getting cold." Yeah. I'd say, "Oh, bugger off." I said, "One of these days, Albert, promise." I can see him now. And when we had these sort of concerts, he would dress up obviously like a woman or a girl. Because you know, don't forget, we're only about 20s, 24s, 25s, and they were quite good bodies then. I mean, I got a good body then at 24. I mean, always kept myself fit. So, and then one time we had a football match, and
did you do any of the entertaining? Did you take part in any of it?
Well, I was coming on to that.
Okay, well, right, carry on then, sorry.
We had this football match, and they had stacks of clothes. I mean, this camp had been going donkey's year, because, I mean, from Dunkirk, I mean, there were people in there in 4 years before we got there. It was well organised. Well, it's the best organised place I've been in, to tell you the truth. Even better than our own barracks. Because our own barracks, I mean, for us, was we never saw decent barracks because we were on the move all the time, always in action. How were we getting? Oh, this field, yeah. And the match started, and all of a sudden, all the big noises of the German people, they came out, and there was cheers for them, and they sat down. And there's about 12 or 14 women, as we thought, came out all dressed up, and they sat alongside of the Germans, not actually with them, but just to one side. And the strange thing was that when it was half time, due for half time, the Germans got up to go to the toilet, so the women got up to go to the toilet, and they all went to the same toilet because they were blokes dressed up. It was a funny thing to see a bloke lift a frock and go in the toilet. Funniest thing in my life. And then, talking about entertainment, I'd got this build-up for another sort of session, but it'll come in this session. I got interested with a bloke, and he said, I'm a chemist in Simi Street, and I've been trying to work out one or two of the things. He said, it might come in useful, because we've got all these blokes, and we don't know what to do with them, and we don't know how to look after them. And he says, we could sing and dance, but there's something different. And he said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And of course, yes, tomorrow never comes with some people. But he came round and he said, I think I've got it, Albert. He said, if you can help me, and we'll run this. I said, fair enough. And it might sound a bit crude, but he said, you can light a fart. He said, because it's only gas. He said, and we'll have to have a few trial runs. And then he said, it might be a few burnt arses, but he says, we'll have a few trial runs. And then what we'll do, we'll have a competition to get the biggest. And I said, are you sure this will work? He said, absolutely. He said, I'm a chemist by trade. He said, I know all about it. He said, if we can get the right gas at the right time and the thing lit, he said, we shall. So I said, well, how do you make this competition? So we'll go by length. He said, you can light it. He said, like a Bunsen burner. He said, you've been in the old science book at school and the old Bunsen burner. Well, it starts off like a blue flame and a white flame. He said, you turn the knob back, he said, it goes up, turn the knob back and it goes down. He said, well, you can do that with a fart. Oh, a bit sort of. He said, believe me, he said, it'll work. He said, then we'll have competition. And he got five blokes as sort of guinea pigs. And now, these blokes were allowed to go down to the cookhouse and eat as much green stuff as they could, and mainly it was stalks off cabbages. And they had 3 days sort of extra rations on that, and they were going down there. And after the 3 days, they were going to start this sort of operation. After 3 days, the bloke in charge, I forget his name, he was a chemist, he said, what we want, we'll have a small hut. We don't want anybody in to see the what we're doing, because it'll spoil the fun when they start. And then the chemist arrived, and the blokes that were the guinea pig, there was five, I think. And we'd drill them in what they'd eaten, how long they'd been. So 3 days, yet. And there'd been 2 hours, like in sections, half an hour rest, half an hour. And he said, well, it'll work. He said, we'll start. And got three tables, and he found a rule from somewhere. I mean, there's all kinds of kit in the Red Cross Centre. Got all, and he got some long tapers. There's all kinds of things in that room. It was like Aladdin's cave. And he said, "Now we'll brief the blokes, tell them what we'll do." Now I said, "What will you do?" He says, "Don't sort of try to make break wind, but when he feels something coming on, we want the first man to shout ready and to jump onto this table, drop his slacks, and then we'll light the incendiary." So now we'll have a marker. Now it says Albert can be the marker. And I said, righto, and I've been briefed. Now when it came out, the old what's saying, I'd got to measure the flame, not the bit at the end, but the flame itself. And it was amazing. We got a blackboard, and we had A, B, C, D, and the blokes got A, B, C, D on the back. And said, go! Anybody ready? And the blokes said, ready! Said, now, the table's in the centre of the room. He said, right, jump onto this table, drop your slacks, and let's have a go. And and the bloke has got a taper, and it lit it. Don't forget, it's a trial run. We've never sort of done it before. And I got the old rule. 3¾. A, 3¾. Anybody else ready? Right, give us a shout. Ready? It was C ready. Gets on the old table, drops the slack. Four. 5/8. see, four. This went on for five blokes. Still, eventually, we got five blokes. And the top was about 5 inches. So I thought, well, we do well here.
You'd had a sentry on the door while you were doing this?
Yeah. So I couldn't let people see what I was doing. Because otherwise, we'd spoil all the fun later on. And he said, well, that's not too bad. I said, but I think we could do better. He said, it's like say, running a mile, and then you can run a mile and a half, and then you run 2 miles. He said, tomorrow, he said, we'll have the same boats up and we'll go through it again. So, fair enough. Give it time, got the sentry, everything. Tapers, okay. Now, your lad's ready, yeah. Marked against, same sort of A, B, C, D. First one, 4.5. Not good. D. Ready? 5.25. More, better still. And we went on like this until we got 5 blokes, and the maximum was 7.75. But to make it interesting later on, we used to put a bit of, like the old gladiators. You say, when we first had a show, like, we gave tickets out and billed the what's name like a pantomime. I mean, because this is a well organised camp. You can get anything printed, like going downstairs and say, can you draft me a letter? And you got letter heading, anything like that. And the camp was marvellous for that, because don't forget in army life, you've got blokes who are painters, decorators, musicians and technicians, blokes worked in a mortuary. He sort of tells about that. And this bloke being a chemist, I mean, he was really pleased that he got to him, it was success. Thought he'd never do it, but fair enough. And then when we had the proper night, it was billed, and you had to have a ticket to get in. You couldn't just barge in and say, just sit down. You had to have a ticket, and the old guard again on the door, checking your pass. And there was a print room for printing them, so you couldn't sort of... You thought it was like going to the Royal Theatre Royal in town, saying I want two for the full house on so-and-so, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. And these rooms were decked out really nice. I mean, it was only like a back room, but the lads used to put decorations around and bits of pictures. And the first time we had a real good do, I mean, this was the sort of, the first time we were sort of being in operation like as a team. And I remember it sort of, first man, ready? Sort of like to get on parade. He shouts, ready. We got into the 7.5 class in the end. 8 inches, 10 inches. Bloke went on, you know yourself, in the civil street, one bloke can go, another bloke just go, this happening in the old back room.
And how many were they watching about?
I think 50. Don't forget, you've got to have a ticket. They're getting like black market tickets.
And would they would they shout? What would they do, the audience? Did they enjoy it?
Oh, they were. Like everything else. I mean, when I was doing the watch day, that was the incentive. It's like going to a football match. And one bloke just sits there and don't say a deal, but another bloke is, So you've got to say with an audience. We got really keyed up, because, I mean, don't forget, we're prisoners of war, you couldn't go out to camp and go to the cinema or go to the pictures, and this was entertainment. 7.5, 8. I was in one night, and Bert said, what'll happen if you, set fire to the bloody bullet? I mean, what'll happen? And this happens in real life.
If you set fire to what?
Set fire to the bullet. I mean, you used to call it billets. I mean, there's only a wooden hook like it, that was it. But in later life, I mean, it happened because I've got a cutting at home somewhere where a bloke was a farmer and his beast had got this trouble with the gas in the stomach. And stomachs were sort of loaded. And he thought, well, it's only gas when all said and so I'll, he got a tube and so we had the old, being a big car, I mean, his stomach was about, you know, sort of big as that. So he had a pipe up the rear and from the end, and lit it, and the flame was up really big, it burnt the bloody foam, burnt the barn down. And I've had two or three blokes come to me out of the blue, because I mentioned prisoner of war life, and he said, did you ever go to any blue flame competitions? And they know through their own pals, the pals have said that, because people would never believe you if you don't. Well, they don't.
How often would you have the blue flame competitions?
Well, I wasn't there long after. We did about five, probably once a week. I mean,
would they burn themselves?
Well, we did in the first place, but I mean, when we had these five blokes like guinea pigs, this chemist sort of learnt the art of what space to light the what's in. Instead of lighting it near your arse like that, there's your backside, it's probably about there, you see, because otherwise it'd blow the...
2 or 3 inches away.
Yeah, so you've got sort of, you know, like trial and error. If you'd have seen them, you'd have never believed it. Yeah. I was coming on to that, and in the Italian camp, it was like very primitive. It was like a native and a white man. So you're writing by hand's a laborious job. But in this big camp, I mean, it's been in situ almost 4 years, and it was well run. They did printers and all kinds of things. Not so well set up as a computer like, but they dropped blokes who were editors in Civil Street and people were copywriters, so they were well organised, so I didn't do anything at all like that. I used to have a board every day, and all the news was on that. That was daily.
Did you take any other part in any entertainments? Any of the shows or anything? Or well, was it just these Blue Flame ones?
I used to like the Blue Flame ones, because everybody could participate, you see. We did a few in Italy, but that was only, of course, Sammy Hall. He was like a comedian in Civil Street, and I used to be a sort of stooge. But you don't get much. German camps were well run. I mean, not a German army, you know, but the Italians. I mean, they're more for you know, soft soap and. I think Germans organise things better all round, so automatically it rubbed off on one another.